time now for the Community Connection right here on WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM. I'm your host, Jeremy Smith, and today we continue our conversation with Eric Gregg, longtime radio broadcaster, former mayor of Harrisburg during the Leap Day tornado, and now entrepreneur looking to build structures to survive storm damage. We now enter our conversation where we left off yesterday. Uniquely Rustique has many new products for moms and grads of all ages. We have many new devotionals to help grade school, high school, and college graduates down the right path. And the Spring Melissa and Doug toys have been restocked for those younger graduates as well. Mom would love our new selection of devotionals just for her, or even some no-maintenance geranium bushes for spring planting. As always, greeting cards are just 45 cents. Come check us out at 705 West Main in Fairfield. Thanks for shopping local. I'm Jeremy Smith, and these are a few of the events that helped shape today. On May 4th of 1776, Rhode Island, the colony founded by the most radical religious dissenters of the Puritans of Massachusetts Bay Colony, became the first North American colony to renounce its allegiance to King George III. In 1865, Abraham Lincoln was laid to rest in his hometown of Springfield, Illinois. His funeral train traveled through 180 cities and 7 states before reaching Springfield. At each stop, mourners paid their respects to the fallen president who had been assassinated on April the 14th. In 1886, the Haymarket Square riot began in Chicago when a bomb was thrown at a squad of policemen attempting to break up what had begun as a peaceful labor rally. In 1905, the U.S. officially began construction on the Panama Canal to bridge the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, dramatically altering world trade as well as the physical and geopolitical landscape of Central America. And on May 4th of 1970, in Kent, Ohio, 28 National Guardsmen fired their weapons at a group of anti-war demonstrators on the Kent State University campus, killing 4 students, wounding 8, and permanently paralyzing another. The tragedy was a watershed moment for a nation divided by the conflict in Vietnam and further galvanized the anti-war movement. These shootings led to protests on college campuses across the country. And these are just a few of the events that helped shape today, May the 4th. I'm Jeremy Smith, and remember, what happens today becomes history tomorrow. Every weekday morning on WFIW 104.9 FM and WFIWradio.com, we reach into the bucket of bunk and pull out a way to talk about absolutely nothing. It's by design. You can find out about the latest national news elsewhere. On Morning Coffee, we would rather find out how many kids Tony Randall had after he was 75, or if anyone knows how to protect their tomatoes. We're so proud of the lack of substance offered up each and every weekday at 8 o'clock, and we want you to know, don't count on us in the future for anything. From radio and the other industries you'd been into the political field, going through board and mayor and all that, to culminate on the leap day that tornado hit. Let's talk a little bit about what that feeling was for you on that day.
Well, glad to do that, Jeremy. I mean, it was you look back on, you kind of replay that over and over in your head, all the time. And, you know, that was a time, I can tell you this, growing up in El Dorado, you know, my dad was worked at the water company and was the superintendent in later life. And, you know, one of the things that we always watched the weather. We always, he was a big weather guy. And so, you know, you don't know it as a kid, but as I've gotten older, he instilled all that in me as well. So I'm kind of watching the weather. Well, the day before the tornado, or actually a couple days before the tornado hit us, you know, I'm looking at the weather map across the country, and it looks like these two big fronts are coming together, and they could collide right over the top of us. And, you know, I was always told, and as we all know, that, you know, if that happens, that the potential for extremely dangerous weather is there. So, yeah, I started watching that. And it's funny because I can hear my dad, you know, I can hear my dad's voice saying, look, you know, this could be, you know, this could really be dangerous. So the day before the tornado, the night before, actually, I have an old family book that goes back generations. And And I'd never done this before, but I gathered that book up, wrapped it up, and put it deep in a closet just for safekeeping, just in case. Now, I had two kids away at college, and my two boys were here. And so I remember, kind of looking that night and watching this thing kind of come together, and I'm thinking, this could really be bad. So I was pretty restless, and I woke up at 3 a.m. and kind of started looking around. I got up and just kind of was watching it as it was coming together, and turned the had the radios and stuff going, and had my city radio as well, and kind of in the television trying to track this thing, I remember waking my wife up and saying, I think this thing's going to be really bad. I said, Patty, maybe we need to get everybody up. And we checked on the girls and stuff. See, of course, they were far away. They were away at college. But I got my two boys up. I sent my wife, Patty, at 4 o'clock in the morning. I got them up. I sent Patty over next door to the neighbors. They have a basement. And we live up on a hill in Harrisburg. And so kind of one of the, I think it is the highest point in Harrisburg. So we're up. Going toward Raleigh up by the airport, we're up on a hill. So I sent Patty next door with my son Carver, and then, of course, this thing hit at 4:56 a.m. And it's just a surreal feeling, Jeremy. There's the wind was swirling, and my oldest son and I, who was probably, I think he may have been, 12 years ago, so or no, almost 10 years ago, so he would have been a lot younger, and he and I stood up on top of the hill. And this sounds crazy, but in my front yard, and we heard this thing, and it is what people tell you. I mean, it just got very quiet, eerily quiet. You could hear kind of a sustained roar. It was just incredible. It kind of sucked the air out, and just the hair on the back of your neck would stand up because it just was really eerily quiet, but you could hear this roar, and you knew something was happening. And of course, then the radio started going off, the city radio, saying that it was hitting out by our junior high and coming across the southern kind of part of our city, going kind of back to the east. So immediately, as it was coming through, I jumped in my car with my son, and we headed toward what ended up being the Brady Street Apartments, where ironically he lives now. But we went there, and we actually went to see if the hospital, the back route to the hospital was open. And fortunately it was. But as we went down Sloan Street, which is where Walmart, down through there, where you turn in to go to Walmart, we started seeing the debris field. And it was still dark. And, Jeremy, we turned into, the parking lot, and I realized the bank was gone. The little bank branch was gone there on the right side. I hadn't seen the left side where the mall was at, and my son said, Dad, the mall is gone. And I looked over, and as lightning flashed, you could just see it was gone. And Walmart, the amazing thing there, they said, oh, Walmart survived. Well, actually, Walmart, it was the back end of Walmart was blown out by about 8 inches, and that building was teetering on going down.
Wow.
There's so many stories that came out of that, Jeremy. But so we made our way around to Brady Street as the sun came up, and we were there when, unfortunately, we had the loss of life, and we were helping assist with the injured and with all that. But there were truly heroes from all over that day, not only within our city, but throughout southern Illinois. I mean, cities came from everywhere. But let's talk about radio for a second with that, because when I was down in front of the bank branch, right as I was just getting on the scene where the worst devastation had happened, where the loss of life had happened, I got a phone call from a buddy of mine that's been in radio for a thousand years, named Tom Miller, who works at WJPF over in Marion and so mm-hmm. or Carterville. So Tom calls me and he talks to me, and he actually recorded that. It's very emotional. I mean, I'm very of course upset. And I can say this, when you're a mayor of a city, you feel very responsible, or you should, and I think almost every mayor I know does, for your people, for the people within your community. So I'm thinking, I've got 10,000 lives here that I'm responsible for, and you don't want to lose one. So it was very moving and traumatic moment for me to be a part of that, and of course for the days ahead. It was just something, but the heroes of the day, people came from all over, calls came from all over. Just amazing how people came and picked us up when we had been knocked down. And boy, that speaks volumes about who we are here in uh, in middle America about who we are. And let me just say this, Jeremy. No one was thinking about, they weren't thinking but helping others, regardless of race, religion, anything. They were just helping people. Everybody was helping each other, and that's the way it should be, and that's what we had done. But that's who we are. That's kind of our culture, that we do help one another, and we do care about one another. And boy, it showed that day. And so we had a rule of thumb here in Harrisburg that every place we went from that point on, we should be saying thank you to people that we run into, because I guarantee somebody from their community, from their church, from their city government, somebody had been in this city during that time to help us get back on our feet. And we did such a remarkable job that FEMA basically did not declare us a disaster area, which was just incredible. They were here twice. I mean, we had millions in damages, but their comment was that we were doing such a great job of taking care of ourselves and picking ourselves up that they didn't see the need to come in, which was just, I don't know how much sense that makes, but it was the case. And, you know, but there was a lot of things that came out of there. There was a legislation passed that said if there was a disaster like that within Illinois, that, you know, that property taxes could not be, you know, raised. Because what we found was after the tornado, when people wanted to rebuild, that because of the new, the different taxing structure that had been implemented, that property taxes could go way up. And who was going to rebuild if that was going to happen, if their property taxes quadruple? So there was legislation that was passed that basically froze that, so that if there was a disaster, that wouldn't happen. So anyway, so, you know, out of a horrible, tragic event, there was, and the loss of life and the loss of, you know, the injuries and the loss of property, the people coming together, people helping one another, people caring, genuinely caring and loving one another, that was the takeaway for me, and picking each other up when we get knocked down. But that's who we are. I mean, that's the culture of this area. I mean, we're farmers, we're coal miners, we're hardworking people. That's all we've ever known, and we're here to help one another if need be, without questions being asked about anything other than, you need help? Okay, I'm here to help you. So, you know, Jeremy, that was a really incredible time in my life, and those around me, you know. I mean, 20 days after the tornado, I was sitting in a meeting, but of course I hadn't slept or wasn't eating right or sleeping, and I ended up having a ruptured large intestine, and being a smart guy that I am, I didn't go to the doctor for a complete day. So by the time I went, I was fully septic and almost succumbed to it, but I spent, you know, the next month in the hospital at Deaconess and several surgeries, and had to be, you know, a few months later put back together. But I can tell you this, and it's an amazing thing too, Jeremy, when they come into you and they say, hey, you've got a 50-50 chance. We've got one more thing to try. And if it doesn't work, you know, Eric, we're sorry. And, you know, that's a pretty sobering moment in your life. And that's a pretty moment. That's one of those moments that you take inventory of, hey, who am I? What have I done with my life? And where am I? You know, I mean, what is the purpose here? And obviously God had a bigger plan for me, because I'm still here, and I did come through that by the grace of God. And I'm very, very thankful for everybody and everything in my life. And I can tell you this, Jeremy, when after all that, and of course, the city was still, you know, being put back together. And I, all I could think about was getting back to Harrisburg, getting back to the community to try to help. And they took my phone away. They took my computer. They wouldn't let me have anything. They wouldn't let me talk to anybody, but because I, you know, just... You know, when you're the captain of the ship, you got to be the captain, and you got to do. But I was so fortunate to have such good council members around me that helped and kept me informed. It was an amazing time when people came together to help one another in a very, very difficult situation. So I hope that explained it, Jeremy, without too much side stories. But, you know, it was something that you look back on your life and you think, you look at events like that really kind of define. And I always say this too. I think we all have to get knocked down two or three times to really figure out who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing in our lives. I mean, I don't talk to too many people that have had it really easy. I mean, there's always been difficulties with anybody and everybody that I know. Mm-hmm. But how you handle that and what you do with that is kind of where I think it goes. And you know, again, for me, I look back and I've learned to forgive people. I've learned to be thankful. I've learned to appreciate everybody and everything. And every day is a gift. And so, you know, by the grace of God, like I said, I'm still here and obviously have more work to do. You know, kind of a cool thing, Jeremy, just to switch gears, I just recently got appointed to the Bald Knob Cross Board of Directors, and what a cool, just beautiful place that is. And just if your listeners, if you've never been to Bald Knob Cross, it's over in McCanda. I would encourage you to take that day trip and go see that beautiful, special place. I mean, it is remarkable, and we've got some really cool things we're going to be doing there. There's a lot of events coming up that it's some place to see. And for me, if my grandfather helped Mr. Presley raise money by taking him around to farmers here my grandfather was from Omaha, Illinois, Gallatin County. So for me to be able to kind of come full circle now and to serve as well like my grandfather did years and years and years ago when it first was being put together is kind of cool. So, you know, I think the good Lord has a plan for all of us, Jeremy, and I'm thankful. I hope I'm still kind of fulfilling that, and as I keep moving forward, and you know, again, it's just it's something that I'm very every day, like I said, the gift, and we all should get up thinking that, you know, even in difficult times, those difficult times really define us on who we are and who we're supposed to be in our lives.
I couldn't have put that any better than myself. That is for sure. And you know, Eric, like you said, it's the things that you go through. It's that baptism by fire that forges you into a stronger steel on the other side of the kiln. Let's talk a little bit about what you've got going on now. We talked about how you had your time in radio. You moved into public service and worked as mayor. Now, you've got some interesting projects you were telling me about before the interview. Let's hear some more about that.
Well, sure, Jeremy. You know, I served, I worked several years in the Department of Corrections as a correctional counselor, and I coached sports and those type of things. And then I also worked in the Commerce Department, kind of working on economic development projects in Southern Illinois, and spent a lot of time up in a great city called Mount Carmel, which is not too far from you. And, mm-hmm. you know, but I served there. I also served on the Illinois Prison Review Board. You know, I was like, you remember Morgan Freeman when he came in during Shawshank Redemption and came in and sat before the parole board? Well, I was that guy that Morgan Freeman was talking to, and I did that. And then, you know, I kind of stepped away from public service like that, and started kind of working with a couple guys. We have a company called LevyLock, and I would encourage your listeners to look it up. It's called LevyLock.com, www.levylock, LeveLock.com. We just recently got our fourth utility patent. We do pollution control. We do kind of water mitigation. We, of course, we can work on levees, but basically what we're doing is trying to protect groundwater and working with the ag industry, working again with brownfield sites, with Superfund sites. And so we're starting to do that all over the country, which is really cool. And we're really blessed to have, and we've got a great team. One of my team members is a guy I go to church with named Gerald DeNeal. Gerald is brilliant. He's got 40 plus years in the mining industry. He reclaimed over 40,000 acres of property of land in the country. He was a certified federal dam inspector. He also hunted nuclear submarines for the Navy, and he's a great songwriter, and he's quite the just an amazing individual. He turned 75 last Sunday. So, and then our other business partner is a guy named Dr. Jim Lancaster. He's up in Fargo, North Dakota. And how we all came together, you know, and you always look back in your life. It's a God thing how we all came together. It's an amazing story. But we formed this company, and so we've done presentations to the Corps of Engineers in Louisville and Nashville and St. Louis, and we're having a lot of big discussions with companies around to kind of solve some huge problems dealing with the environment, which what a legacy that would be for me to kind of know that I had a hand in stopping some big, huge pollution issues that are out there. And of course, in our area, we have, you know, the oil industry and the coal industry and the farming industry, which, you know, there's some issues there that we can help address to protect our groundwater. And so that's what we're doing, Jeremy, with that. We also have another company called that we're part of. It's called the Fager McGee Resilient Building Division. We build structures. We use what's called the EVG 3D panel, and that panel is manufactured in a big town called Ridgeway, Illinois, which is really cool. And there's two places in the United States that manufacture this panel. One's out west, and the other one's in Ridgeway, Illinois, in the entire country. And this panel is really kind of a unique product. It is, you can put these structures up. Basically, it's 4-inch polystyrene centers with wire welded mesh. And you put these structures up, and you put gunite on them, and you can make them look like whatever you want. You can put siding on it if you want to. But they make beautiful buildings. But these buildings are windproof, earthquake, fireproof. They're energy efficient off the chart. And they are just, they're a fortress. And so we've started kind of, given my background, we talked about the tornado a while ago. You can imagine how passionate I am about a structure that won't succumb to wind. So this is something that we've been pushing out. We recently just went through two AFWERX challenges, one with the Air Force, which is an initiative to work with kind of new products and new ideas with the Air Force. And the other one was with the Department of Defense. Well, Jeremy, we made it to the finalist in both categories, in both of those events, which is just amazing for some old country guys from Southern Illinois. But that being said, the really cool thing that happened for us was all the collaborations, all the other companies that we met during that process. And one of them was called ProtectFlex, and they are from Australia. Well, we currently have three prototypes buildings over in Australia that are being tested now for blast-proof. Using their product put with ours, they're ballistically rated. They can take a missile hit. And so this ProtectFlex, they work with a big defense contractor within the Australian government that builds all the embassies and structures around the world for the Australian government. Well, we're working closely with them now to do the blast testing as well as soundproofing. And it's extremely exciting. So we're hopeful that we're going to hear, and we will hear sometime in May, how that's all going. And these guys are actually experts globally. And so we're very excited about what kind of opportunity that's going to open up. Fager McGee, the company we're teamed up with, is a Murfreesboro, Illinois company. They are a design build company. They do fantastic work. They just most recently finished the SIC Art Museum here in Harrisburg, or out, at the college. And then they're building the new Benton Courthouse, which is going up right now, which is a beautiful structure. So it's just kind of an incredible team operation all the way around. We just got featured on Levelock. I'll back up just for a second. We just got featured in Waterways Journal. They did a big story on us, which is Waterways Journal is the oldest national publication dealing with our waterways in the country. And we had a great story in that. It's just a lot of exciting things, Jeremy. And I had a friend of mine say, you're starting starting this at 60. I'm like, I'm never going to quit. I'll quit when I'm, I can't move anymore. And that's just the kind of way I am, the way I'm going to be from now on. And my business partners are certainly the same way. So it's just an incredible opportunity. We have an office at Southern Illinois University. We work closely with them. They're at the Dunn-Richmond Economic Development Center. One of the guys I talk to all the time, which is really cool, is a guy named Kurt Jones. And Kurt Jones is the guy that created Dippin' Dots. He's a good friend of ours. And
really?
Spend quite a bit of time with him. Yeah, but he's an amazing guy. I mean, he would, he's kind of like all of us. He'd walk in with his blue jeans on and a T-shirt, and you'd say, well, that's the guy that created Dippin' Dots. And you might not believe that, but he is so it's really cool the people we've met and kind of teamed up with. In fact, we're working with Kurt on a few things. It's amazing. Every day, again, is a blessing. Every day is a gift. And to kind of step out now and be doing these kind of things. I've seen my name in a lot of places, Jeremy, but I never thought I'd see it on a utility patent. And that's quite a process in itself. But we now have four of them. And so we're real excited about what the next chapter is going to be for our lives if we step through this. Hey, Jeremy, I'd love to come back and talk to you anytime and stay right on top of this with you and kind of keep you up to date. Because, the end goal for us is to, hopefully, all the years I've served in public service, I was a county commissioner for 12 years and mayor for a few years and all these other areas that I've served. One of the things I found is I certainly have the opportunity now, kind of over here in the private sector, to go out and try to create good jobs and good opportunities for people here in Southern Illinois. And as we all know, we need that desperately. And that's the thing we're kind of working on, is looking at how this thing is going to kind of roll out. Can we put together crews of people to kind of travel around the country? One of the big groups we're working with right now is a veterans group that not only work with veterans, but also our Native Americans. And they've just they've got an incredible organization that we've now kind of partnered up with them as well on some things. So real exciting stuff. It's kind of every day is a kind of, you know, pivoting and moving and not sitting still. So, you know, again, at 60, I'm not going to slow down, Jeremy. I'm going to keep moving.
Well, you know what they say, when you slow down, that's when you start to come to a stop. And we don't want to see you come to a stop anytime soon, especially with these projects you've got going on. I'm very interested in keeping up with you about the business and hearing more about the utility patent. Hopefully we can get you on sometime in the next week or two and get an update from you on that as well.
Eric, oh, I'd love that, Jeremy.
That would be fantastic, buddy. I sure appreciate you being here tonight. Now, unfortunately, we are out of time for this edition of the Community Connection, but Eric has already agreed, as you heard, ladies and gentlemen, to come back and keep us updated. I'm going to hold him to that. I'm going to hold his feet to the fire and ensure that he does, because there are a lot of fascinating developments coming our way through this man and his business. Eric, thank you so much for giving me the honor of interviewing you today.
Well, Jeremy, the honor was all mine, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. And I'm, again, very, very proud of you and all of your hard work. And keep it up. I look forward to staying connected with you and talking anytime you'd like, Jeremy. Take care.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that so much, and I look forward to speaking with you some more as well. Again, that's all the time we've got today for the Community Connection. This is WFIW AM 1390, 103.3 FM. As a reminder, we do archive every episode prior to airtime. So around 8 a.m. this morning, you'll be able to get online and listen to this and other episodes of the show by heading to our website, WFIWradio.com, clicking on the About Us tab and selecting Community Connection. Again, I am Jeremy Smith. For myself and my guest, Mr. Eric Gregg, I want to wish everybody a great rest of your day. This is your News Talk Connection, WFIW AM 1390, Fairfield, Illinois.